Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, January 26, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism and we are on page 32. We're going to be working a little bit out of the paragraph two. So come with me, please, if you would. Down 14 lines of paragraph two. Count them down, 14 lines. And then you'll see where we're going to begin our study today. And it starts with these words. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. And Don will read clear over to the finish of that paragraph, which is on the top of 33, ending with was dead within 4 years. Heavy material today, very, very valuable information. That's what we're going to be studying today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Grace K., the 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Reading the text today and support is Don B., Sherry M., Barbara W. for newcomers and sponsors, and Robin P. will wrap up this meeting with some announcements at the very end. Stay with us for the entire hour, if you would, please. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 16267, 16,267. That would be Monday, January 25th, 2021. And then today, we already had a meeting this morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. It would be Tuesday, the 26th, 2021. That share ID number is 16272, 16,272. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Grace K. from Pennsylvania to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Grace K., a compulsive eater. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you so much for your service this month, Grace. It's Grace K. from Pennsylvania. I will now ask Joanne L. from Rhode Island to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Joanne from Rhode Island. I'm recovered in the state of the littlest state in Rhode Island. I was the littlest state in all the United States. Let me see. The 12 steps, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I've enjoyed doing service this month. Thanks, Melanie. I pass.
You're welcome. The feelings are mutual for sure. Thank you. That's Joanne L. from Rhode Island, reading the 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and this would include being quiet for the recording as well. And each one will be muted by the service that we do here if your mic is left unopened. So just be prepared for that kind of what may seem like an anomaly. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in paragraph 2 on page 32 of the Big Book, way down 14 lines on paragraph 2. We're going to take out that chunk today and finish the paragraph. Starts with, out came his carpet slippers and bottle, and ends up over on the top of 33 with, was dead within 4 years. I'd like to ask Dawn B. to read that bit of that particular paragraph today and unpack it today with her experience, strength, and hope. And after that, we'll open up to others to comment on that section. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle. In 2 months, he was in a hospital, puzzled and humiliated. He tried to regulate his drinking for a while, making several trips to the hospital meantime. Then, gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found he could not. Every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. Wow. That's a very, very powerful message there. And it is so true. For me, it just reminds me of the truth for myself. And I'm so grateful to this vision program. I had been abstaining, you know, a number of years, heard about vision, came into it, and I really do not believe, had I not discovered vision and had I not, you know, gone through the steps through the big book, I would have gone back out, because I would have believed, just as this man of 30 did, that after a number of years of sobriety and, you know, having that would qualify me to somehow go back to the food, that it would be okay, since I had, you know, I've been doing so well, you know, I could have told myself. And I honestly believe, had I not gotten this profound message from the big book, in the doctor's opinion, where it says we are lost, we are hopeless, we are doomed, very clear statement that I am lost in my disease, and I will never be able to go back to my alcoholic foods. They are death to me, and there is nothing ahead for me if I continue with my alcoholic foods, which I did in program for almost 35 years. I had failure in the program because I kept thinking that I could go back to my alcoholic foods, that it would be okay to have just a little bit and to be able to control and regulate this. And as it says in the sentence right before the ones that we read, then he fell victim to a belief that practically every alcoholic has, that this long period of sobriety and self-discipline would qualify him to drink as other men. I have to accept and embrace, which I believe that I have, but I must continue to do that on a daily basis, that to go back to my alcoholic foods would be death for me. And I can never, ever go back. I am not like other people. And I need to accept that with all my heart. And then realizing that my disease is permanent, it is progressive, and it is fatal. So as well, my recovery must be permanent. It has to be something that I work at every single day. My recovery must be progressive. I must enhance and enlarge my spiritual life. I must be doing my 10 steps on a daily basis, you know, looking for those ways that I'm being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, resentful, fearful. And when I am, to examine those and to tell those to another fellow and to ask God to remove those. So it's a daily basis, and it is fatal. It is with life and death urgency that I continue to practice this on a daily basis. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dawn B. from California, for getting us started today. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find us in the chapter more about alcoholism today on page 32, paragraph 2, line 14 is our study today, our focus. Starts without came his carpet slippers and a bottle and ends at the top of 33 with was dead within 4 years. We'd like to invite others to share their experience on this particular paragraph or parts of the paragraph, please. And although we do very much value all of your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others of this very large, thank God, group can share their experience as well. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, Wednesday is your day to share again if you want to calculate it that way. In the meantime, I'd love to take your first name, first initial of the last name, and your state.
Carol F.
Kara L.
Carol F.
Robin.
Kara L.
Kara, is that what I heard? L.
Yep.
Okay. Gotcha.
Carrie
now.
C.
Okay. Carrie C.
B.
G.
Robin.
Okay. Robin P. Chris with a K.
Deb E.
And Deb E. Let's do that. I think that's my limit here for the first go around to give others a chance. We'll mix it up a little bit later. So I have Carol F. like Frank, Kara L., Carrie G., Robin P., Chris, need your first initial or last name, I think, there, and then Deb. If you want to give your state so folks can be in touch with you, that would be fantastic. K. K. Chris with a K and last initial K. Super. Oh, A.
No, A is an apple.
Yeah, I think I reheard that better. Okay, thanks so much. Okay, Carol F. from Maryland, you're next. I mean, you're up. You're first.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm relatively new to visions, and this is my first time sharing. But what I want to share this morning is the progression. That reading made me think of the progression of the illness, regardless of whether I'm eating or not. And I just wanted to share that my last slip binge, it was really not a slip, it was a relapse, although short-lived. The intensity, the ferociousness of it, the assaultive nature of it, and the destruction of it was unrelenting. And what I want to say is I didn't even want to stop, yet I knew I should stop and ask for help. And I want to share also that while I was in that cycle, it was like almost like an out-of-body experience. I want to call it a spiritual experience. I could really see what I was doing. Didn't really care, but yet I knew I needed some help. But what really helped me out was that I knew I had to ask for help. And that has always been my anchor or something that I've always needed that has always brought me hope, to be able to open my mouth and ask for help, which was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And almost in a way continues to be. That way. But I did ask for help, and I found a sponsor who is really helping me. I have 3 weeks of abstinence. I feel great. But what is really holding me together is that I make outreach calls to newcomers. And that freshness of hearing about the viciousness of the disease, them and me, helps keep me willing to continue on my road of recovery. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carol F. from Maryland. Kara L., you're next. And then let's see, Carrie G. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody that's doing service and bringing the meeting to us today. I can totally, when I read this, I just identify in, and it reminds me, and I also identify in with the self-knowledge, right? The self-knowledge is not going to help me identify in back to Bill's story also. You know, the line here, then gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop together and found he could not, altogether, and found he could not. You know, that was me, because I did. Early in my disease, I could diet. I could lose weight. I could maintain what I thought was, you know, a normalcy when it came to food, body, and diet, you know, exercise. And then came the morning that I woke up and I couldn't do it. And I marshaled all of my will every night. And I said, tomorrow morning will be different. And then I would wake up in the morning and I would eat my diet breakfast. And then I would continue to eat the rest of the day. And it would be repeated over and over until I got to the point in my life, I looked at my husband and said, I don't know why, but I can't diet anymore. I can't, you know, and I was fully self. I knew what to eat and not to eat. I knew all of those things, and I knew those things about me, right? And I could not do it anymore. Now, it wasn't until I had a spiritual awakening that I found out that, of course, I couldn't do it. I was trying to be divine. I was trying to do something for myself, which I could not do, that only had a spiritual solution, that only my higher power could do for me. And it always puts me in this paradox of like, I know I can't do it and I have to rely on a higher power, but how do I do that? And it was working the steps. It was working this book. It was being honest, entirely honest, and saying, okay, I might not eat this certain food, but I was still allowing a little bit of it in different forms, right? And it was just knowing, I didn't swear off. I just started reworking the steps and I knew. And I was to the point of pain that I was really willing to let it go. And it was easy because I was on the spiritual path. I can't even explain how it happened. And it just continued. The more I worked these steps, the easier it got. And I knew that something greater than me was doing something for myself that I could not do. And I didn't have a name, you know, I didn't have a name or a way. I just kept my head in this book. I did what I was told to do. And it worked.
Time.
You know, I think it was time. And I'll end with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Carrie G., you're next from Colorado.
Good morning, Melanie. Hi, my fellows.
Good morning.
This is Carrie G., recovered, thank God, in Colorado this morning. Yeah, just so grateful to be on the line with you all. This passage, what the directions in this text are reminding me that I definitely came to this place in my life where somebody told me once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and my best thinking just kept me stuck for another 20 years. Oh, I'm not going to keep purging. No, I've got this. And I fell victim to that belief that I could eat like other people. And the warnings here are just telling me, you know, that I gathered all my forces. I attempted to stop altogether and I found I could not. And it just screams to me, self-reliance. Where is God in all this? And I just heard recently the acronym for God could be grow or die. And I was dying in this disease. And white knuckling is not a spiritual awakening. How did I know when I had a profound alteration? And somebody's not muted. I experienced a sense of neutrality. I was finally able, thanks to my higher power, I was finally able to stop fighting it. And God was helping me avoid temptation. God placed me in that position of neutrality. And I was safe and protected. And I didn't, and just like the previous speaker said, I didn't even swear off. All of a sudden, things just got lighter because I did the work and I stayed in this book and I had the educational variety. I didn't have a white blinding light of a spiritual experience, but I just stayed in this book and I just kept coming back and I keep coming back. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, pain, that obstacle in my life, has given me a way that is better than anything I could have ever imagined. So if you are struggling, just stay in the hope, listen to the voices on this meeting and know that there is a way out from this disease. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That was Carrie G. from Colorado. Robin P., Florida, Mexico woman, you're up next, and then Chris A. will follow you.
Thank you so much, Mel. Thank you, everyone who's participating in this meeting. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And, you know, it's that clear mental twist that I just, you know, wow. You know, you think, oh, well, I've been doing so well for so long. Surely I could have this. And it didn't work out. You know, and then he had all the money. You know, every means of solving his problem with money, which money could buy, was at his disposal. He had everything, every possible solution at his fingertips, quote unquote, and every attempt failed. And that's the thing, you know, I tried everything. If any of those things externally would have worked, I would not be on this phone call today. And believe me, I tried everything I could think of. to stop that merciless obsession that just would not stop. And you know, in practicing it in all my affairs, and God uses everything. And I've been going through a lot with manufacturing my invention. Just I'm so powerless over the manufacturer, and it has been, I've had to work steps 1 through 12. I'm powerless over this, and my life's become unmanageable. And what is this here to teach me? Because it's felt like I'm 5 years abstinent. It's felt like my head's been in the bowl, that much pain over this subject. And I've had to just keep surrendering, keep working my 10 steps, keep working the steps. And this is the kind of thing that, left to my own devices, without God and without program, I would have just, I would have been in the food. And the miracle of this grace, because it's been excruciatingly painful at times for the past few weeks. And I just keep surrendering and keep wholeheartedly surrendering. And, you know, my pride and, you know, fear and resentment. And even if some people go, you know, this is, you know, seems like a justified resentment, I can't afford it, you know. And so I just get to keep surrendering and trusting God and lean not on my own understanding. And I can't, God can't, I'll let him. And everything that I'm going through in life right now, all these things that I'm so powerless over, I get to surrender them to God and ask for help, so that I am not doing this thing alone. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. in Florida at this point. Next up is Chris A. from California, but I wanted to give you a tip here. Within about 6 minutes or so, we're going to open up lines for additional comments. We're in paragraph 2 today in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 32, paragraph 2, but we're down 14 lines with Al Came as Carpet Slipper. So you might want to get yourself oriented. We'd love to hear from you. But in the meantime, let's listen to what Chris A's experience is with this. Hi, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris A. I'm from Long Beach, California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So it says, then gathering all of his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found he could not. And I've just recently come into OA, and, you know, over the years, there are so many false hopes out there, false programs. And even though I've had full knowledge of my issues with compulsive eating since I was a kid, I've just allowed myself to be my own boss, be control, think that I can control everything. And when I look at this paragraph about this man, I have seen the disease progress. And I can't use my body weight. Of course, I go up and down, but it's my head. And I just finally came to a place where I truly believe that this is the only program that can truly help a real compulsive overeater. Because at some point, I always think I've become a normal eater, and I go back to making exceptions, adding foods that eventually just trigger my brain. My body is not the same as a normal eater's. And one of the things that has been tough for me is I've had a relationship with God for a long, long time. And, of course, call out to him in every area of my life. Other than this, I feel that my relationship with him has been vibrant. I've definitely experienced his strength, his hope, his comfort. But this is an area that I kept taking back. And I don't think I truly had a willingness to let go, or a true belief or trust in him that he would be enough. I knew he had the strength and the power to give me what I needed to be abstinent from my food and to recover and to heal. But I'm hoping this is a bottom where I finally am willing to say, what do I have to do? And a couple of days ago, somebody read that, and there is a solution. What do I have to do? And I'm just grateful right now that I'm in a place where I'm just willing to listen and one of my defects is being, you know, controlling and organizing and thinking that my way is best. And it's just having a sponsor is helping a lot, and just saying, what do I have to do? And having a willingness to learn from people that have done this a lot longer than I have. And I'm very grateful for the freedom I have in my head. Thanks so much. I pass.
Thanks, Chris A. from California. Next up is Deb. Deb, are you from Israel? I'm taking a guess here. And then we're going to open up the lines after Deb. 3 minutes. Hey, Israel. Great. Your time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Deb E., compulsive overeater, recovered in Israel. And this first line, out came his carpet slippers in a bottle. It's like he's settling in. He's getting comfortable. It's like all planned, right? He's been white knuckling for 25 years, and now he's going to relax. And it's like he's been holding it together, and seems like he's been waiting for this moment. And then he's completely baffled at how, you know, his alcoholism is still right there. And he gathered all his forces, and he didn't help. And every attempt failed. You know, it just, like, keeps driving in this point that nothing else works. You know, there is no other solution. And that last part of the last sentence, and he was dead within 4 years. He didn't have a slip. He didn't have a relapse. He just died. Like, there was no other chance. And I really pay attention to that. You know, I don't know if I have another chance at recovery, if I lose the recovery I have. I'm not willing to take that risk. And I'm really grateful for that, like, healthy amount of fear I have around it. I mean, it's more faith, I think, but there is a certain element of fear that I'm like, I don't want to go back there. And I don't know what's waiting for me, right? So I don't want to take that chance. I want to keep building on the recovery that I have and have it continue to grow instead of taking that chance, you know, for some bite that won't get me anything I want or need like I think it will. And so I like when the big book really, like, kind of drives it home with these strong words. Like, that's it. His life just ended, and that was it. He didn't have another chance. And it's a good reminder for me that, like, I don't know if I have another chance, so I'm going to work as hard as I can to keep what I've got. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dev E. from Israel. Grateful for that. The lines are now open to take additional comments on the line 14 of paragraph 2 on page 32 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. If you would like to comment your experience on that line, if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, your state for contacting you, being mindful that if you've shared recently, like Monday or Friday or whatever, your data share would be tomorrow. We value your experience, strength, and help, but we're trying to open up the lines with these 200 and some odd people for all voices to be able to be heard. So I'm ready to take some new names.
Chris P.
Yes. I hear Chris P. Is that true?
No, Chris G.
Chris G. Okay.
And Janice P.
Janice P. That's probably what it was, huh? Okay. Sorry about the line. Okay. Who
Gloria
else?
S.
Gloria S.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Ann R.
Ann R. Let's see how that takes us to the end here, and if not, we'll open it up. But let's go with this first. Christy, you're up first. Janice P. Gloria, Jody, and Ann. Chris, where are you from?
I'm in Tennessee.
That's great. Okay, good. Thanks so much. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for this meeting today and glad that everybody's here, and I appreciate everybody who does service. I don't love this paragraph, but it speaks to me. It's one to look at often or to know about. And when I came in years ago, I knew that I was fat, but I wanted to fix myself someday. I would be happy when I wasn't fat, and then I would be happy. And now that I know that I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and it's not, I'm not fat now, but that isn't the thing that makes me happy. And so I find this an acceptance of compulsive overeating on a you know, peel off the onion, the layers of the onion, and get the acceptance, not the acceptance that I was fat, and I'm not fat now, so I don't have a problem, but the acceptance that I will always have the potential to die from this disease. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christy from Texas. Janice P., you're next for 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was unmuting. Did you say Janice P.?
I did. Hey. Yep, your turn.
Hey
now.
There. Hi. Yeah, Janice P. in Colorado. The sentence that came out to me was, or that stood out for me was, out came his carpet slippers. Oh my gosh, right? That's me getting really cozy. And it looks like me not weighing and measuring when I committed to doing so. It looks like me taking those extra bites when I'm cooking, or me rationalizing why it's okay if I don't report that nighttime snack, or I don't know, just me being dishonest, but in a little subtle way, right? It's just nothing really big, but it's just little subtle ways. But you know, those add up. It really adds up, and it adds up fast. So for me to avoid getting into those little deadly traps, I have to be open and honest with my sponsor, and I have to let them know, hey, these are my actions, these are my struggles, this is what's happening, and I need help. And I really rely on heavily the 10 step. So whenever I'm not at peace, I like to keep it really simple. Whenever I'm not at peace, so if I'm struggling with life or if I'm struggling with food, I'll do a 10 step. And then what also helps really keep me honest is doing that nightly inventory. So here, you know, I have like a safety net, right? But I have to use them. And I have to just be aware that it's there for me. It's here. My higher power is giving me, you know, these wonderful tools. I have to use them. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice P. from Colorado. Gloria S., you're next for 3.
Hi, everybody. This is Gloria S. from Washington State. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. The part in this reading that's standing out for me today is every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. And you know what just really hitting me in the last couple of days is I have a terminal illness. It has to be my priority every day. I mean, if they told me, you know, you need to go to the hospital now and get hooked up to the dialysis machine in order to stay alive today, I mean, that is that kind of thing. And I got into Overeaters Anonymous this last time in 2010. I got abstinent, and then slowly, like I've heard so far, these little indiscretions started. And like 3 years ago, I'm visiting my family on the East Coast, which costs money to go. I don't get to see them frequently. And I'm in the back seat of the car eating snacks, and I have a whole pile of snack wrappers in my pocket again. And here I am visiting my family, and in my head, you know, it's what are we eating? Oh, darn, I ate that, trying to fix it again. And I'm in the same place. It doesn't go away. And the other thing I want to say, I just lost a friend recently. And, you know, the cause of death is compulsive overeating. It may look like heart failure. It may look like other things. And I cannot tell you how many times I've been sitting in Overeaters Anonymous face-to-face meetings and some husband or spouse comes in and says, my spouse isn't coming today. They died. And you know, the call to death probably says heart failure, but it's compulsive overeating. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gloria S. from Washington. Jody E., California, you're up next. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. So this makes me think of what I hear and what I probably have even thought myself maybe once or twice, and that is, what's going to happen when I'm 85 or 90 years old and I'm in a nursing home? And shouldn't we just let our old elders eat whatever they want? They're old. Not going to hurt them. They should be able to eat what they want. That would be a real tragedy for me. I really hope that if I do end up in a nursing home, that I'm still working my program, because any day that I pick up my alcoholic foods, I begin to live to eat rather than eat to live. And that's not how I want to spend my time here on earth. I want to be awake. I want to be aware. I want to open up that channel to the sunlight of the spirit. And as soon as I start to eat, I am bowing to a different God. And it doesn't matter how old I am. That will be true as it was at 30 as it'll be at 90. So it will affect my health also and my mentality, no matter how old I am. So as a real compulsive overeater, I want to stay abstinent to the day I die so that I can have a real, true, clear experience of death, entering the kingdom of heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to be drugged. I don't want to be in the food because I am a real compulsive overeater, and I want to live a life of abstinence, sobriety, and clarity of mind, body, and spirit. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. Ann R., you're up for three.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ann R. I'm from California. I am a compulsive overeater, and I like this part right here. It says he tried to regulate his eating for a while, making several trips to the hospital meantime, then gathering all, and I'll put my forces. I attempted to stop altogether and found I could not. I cannot even begin to express how grateful I am for this meeting. I am from a long lineage of people who die from this disease. They're dead, they're gone. I've lost two brothers, I've lost parents, grandparents. My adult children are in their process of it. And I believe that what I hear on this line, which is there is a spiritual solution here. There is spiritual safety here. There is a place that I can live from that will allow me to be healed or healing from this killer. I'm coming in from a place of a relapse. In one day, I had three round sugar trigger foods, and I had two triangular-shaped trigger foods, and I felt awful. And I got to meet the dragon in the cave and say, yep, you're still there, yep. I still feel awful. So I am surrendered. Here's a big one. I just wrote down, stop crying, girl. I just wrote down a list of trigger foods, and two of the items on there I do not want to give up. I do not want to let go of because they had become God to me. And they're not God. cheese and popcorn is not God, but my the relationship that I have with it.
And you've kind of gone a little faint yet. Can you adjust your mic again?
The can you hear me now?
Much better. Thanks so much. We want to hear what you have to say.
The relationship to these food items, these trigger foods, had become God. And I am extremely grateful that I don't have to do this alone. It says every attempt failed. That means anything I do by myself with this dance becomes futile, becomes one step in the grave. And today I don't want to die. Today I want to live. And I apologize if this offends anyone. I don't mean to be too big for the phone line, but you are helping me save my life as I find the courage to surrender one second at a time to a program that is not only saving your life, but it's giving you that spiritual freedom that I so deeply desire that I think I'm going to find somewhere else. Bless you. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Ann. That's Ann R. from California. There is time on the clock here for one two-minute share. Would someone like to take that to end our sharing for today?
Michelle G. in California.
Got you. It's yours, Michelle G. from California.
Thank
2 minutes. Here you go.
All right. Michelle G. still on the path this morning. And looking at dude with his carpet slippers and his bottle, me and my bowl in front of TV. Here I am in vision with a sponsor. Coming in last year, summer of 2019, I go through all the steps. I find the freedom and the neutrality. I'm working with others. I find that I've left off 10 and 11 because I feel I'm in the book every day with sponsees and don't realize the emotional buildup that's coming. I gathered all my forces, you know, picked up again this year in February and still struggling to this day. And so I've gathered all my forces. That I attempted to stop altogether and found that I could not. Every means of solving this problem, being on the calls, weighing and measuring, still not doing that step 10 too good or 11. Every attempt has failed. And still, I have once again been God, even in the program, even trying to work these steps or working the steps. There's that self-will that is still there that will kill me, but I don't want to die. I'm seeing that it is still me, and I'm just asking higher power, stop me, and I will stop. I'm asking you, you know, and I'm listening to every one of you that I'm identifying with. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you so much, Michelle G. And that would be the last share for the recorded portion of this meeting. And we'll go about the business of wrapping up the recording. I'd like to ask Sherry M., please, if she would read from page 164 of our big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and we'll follow that together with saying the Serenity Prayer as we transition to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded hour. Hi, Sherry. Thank you.
Good morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Mm-hmm.